the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining us today via the Chevy Trucks Hotline, ChicagoFootball.com writer and USA Today's NFC North correspondent. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur Arkish, welcome to the program today.
Thank you. Welcome. How are we doing?
Doing well. We've also got JC Talon, our ChicagoFootball.com fantasy writer, off the shelf here after a couple weeks on the DL. JC, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It was a soft tissue injury. I think I should be okay.
We called you day to day, but it ended up being week to week. We were our own John Fox here. As always, welcome to the ChicagoFootball.com Fantasy Podcast. Thank you for subscribing to us in iTunes. And as always, we appreciate any sort of feedback you can get at me on Twitter at JSolly. As usual, our podcast is broken up into two parts, season-long and DFS or daily fantasy sports content. We're going to start with some season-long news and notes. The past couple weeks, we have opened up the podcast talking Green Bay Packers, and we're doing it again. Randall Cobb, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, has an AC joint sprain. The team has reiterated it is just a sprained shoulder and nothing more. Suffered it against the Eagles on Sunday. JC, we'll start with you. Any concern with Randall Cobb week one and season long?
No, I've done as much research as I think you can possibly do on this, and it seems like he'll play in week one, and I don't think this is going to be the type of injury that lingers. So I am cautiously optimistic that he's going to be a top 10 receiver.
Arthur, how about you?
It appears the Packers certainly dodged a bullet here after last week's devastating news of Jordy Nelson's season-ending injury. I'm not necessarily concerned with this specific injury, but I do think it speaks to the volatility of both Cobb and the Packers' passing offense right now. Cobb, because you have to remember, prior to his true breakout last year, had never played in 16 games. He's not a big guy. He's now going to be the go-to in this offense, and it's a tough man's game, especially inside. He's one of my favorite players to watch, but he takes a big-time beating, and I think this is a reminder of just how quickly things can turn, and then also just with regard to how the rest of the Packers' passing game is going to shake out. Can Jeff Janis fill that Jordy Nelson role? Devontae Adams ready to ascend? I think these things are all closely tied together. Cobb's targets aren't going to hurt, but I do kind of wonder how his role is going to shift with in light of the other news going on.
And Arthur, at this point, are you handcuffing Randall Cobb with maybe a Ty Montgomery or a Jeff Janis?
Yeah, it's a great call. I definitely, Jeff Janis in particular, I think is an outstanding late round flyer. Even if he can only do that one thing and fly down the field like Jordy Nelson used to, I think that might be enough, and I think that maybe will open up the Randall Cobbs and the Devontae Adams and the other options in this offense. So it's a great point, and not to give any hate to Ty Montgomery, he's a guy I like as well. John, how do you view what's going on with the Packers offense right now?
I like the way Montgomery has developed. I think that he's probably ahead of Janis at this point. So I really like the Montgomery pick as a late-round stash, and especially to handcuff maybe with Randall Cobb. JC, we haven't talked to Devontae Adams with you yet. Where do you have him on your board?
Well, I definitely believe he's a top 20 receiver. He could even be top 15. I personally think there's a huge drop-off after after Adams and I'm sorry, the first guy,
Cobb.
Randall Cobb. I'm sorry, I had a brain cramp there. But after those two guys, I think there's a drop off. What you might see, and I'm not necessarily predicting this, but you might see Richard Rodgers get some more targets as a tight end. The Green Bay has not been in the last few years really big on going to the tight end, but you might see a little bit more of that. And I think Arthur is correct that if Cobb does go down, I think that they're kind of thin now at receiver, and I think there's a huge drop off after those first two guys. But I think Devontae Adams is a great pick, top 20 guy on the receiver side.
All right, we'll move on to some preseason risers and fallers. We'll start with some standouts and who has helped their draft stock most in the preseason. A couple guys I'm throwing out: Sam Bradford, Philadelphia Eagles starting quarterback. Last game, 3 touchdowns, 10 of 10 against the Packers. They're all on checkdowns, but you'll take it. He's currently going about 15th on most sites in terms of quarterbacks. I've got him top 12 Arthur, how about you?
I'm all over Sam Bradford, absolutely. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, at least at that time, before he had made his preseason debut, I was kind of viewing him as a stash kind of guy, a backup with major upside. Now I'm looking at him as a starter with some considerable upside, certainly an opportunity to get in the bottom half, you know, the top QB10 conversation, if you will. Just so many weapons, just such a conducive offense. So obviously the one thing we need to see is Sam Bradford staying healthy. Do you think this is the year that he does it?
You know, tough to call. JC, how about you?
Well, let's factor out the injury thing at first, and then we'll come back to it. But if he stays healthy, I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid now. Now, on one hand, you really want to watch out preseason. How many times have we been burned? This guy looks great in preseason, then the regular season starts, and it's a totally different story. But this would seem to make sense on a lot of levels. He's familiar with the offense. He seems comfortable in it. We know with Chip Kelly, when you have that kind of offense, the quarterback, all the production is going to come through the quarterback. So while everybody else is a bit of a risk, the quarterback's a good pick. So, yeah, I tend to agree. I'm a little concerned just because it looks too good to be true. Now, as far as the injuries go, that's a real concern. So from a fantasy perspective, if you pick him, you've got to have a good, solid other option at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think Bradford has probably played himself into, and we've talked about this, Arthur, in previous podcasts, about the kind of QB blob where it's Matt Ryan or Cam Newton or, you know, Tom Brady minus four games, and he's kind of played himself into there. But I think you could probably get Bradford and a guy in that that blob that's after, you know, Luck and Rodgers. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's probably the way you want to approach it. I really think you hit the nail on the head there. There's a few guys that I'm definitely cooling on, guys like Cam Newton, even with the, you know, the mobile aspect. I just think that offense has really gone in the tank all of a sudden. Ryan Tannehill, a guy I'm really excited about, but I think I'm pushing Sam Bradford ahead of Ryan Tannehill on my board. So there are definitely some opportunities to find value and maybe stack up at the quarterback position. It just seems like it's a perfect situation now for Bradford finally with Chip Kelly, and all of a sudden all the head scratching going on throughout the offseason with some of the trades he was pulling seems to have lessened a little bit.
All right, we'll go to another riser here. Charles Johnson, a wide receiver from Minnesota. I think Teddy Bridgewater is absolutely locked in on him. He's currently going about 34, 35 in terms of wide receivers, behind guys like Mike Wallace, who's his teammate and is supposed to be, I guess, the number one guy. But I think Johnson has passed him up. Arthur, what have you seen out of Minnesota?
Nothing but great stuff from Charles Johnson. I'm completely on board with that as well. I think he's going to definitely lead that offense in targets. And anyone who's been paying attention, this shouldn't come as a real surprise. North Turner has been hyping up Charles Johnson since well prior to the Mike Wallace trade. Obviously, the return of Adrian Peterson opens up everything for that offense. So, yeah, Charles Johnson's the go-to guy there. He's someone I will be looking at in a lot of areas. And then, you know, the question is Teddy Bridgewater ready to make the next step? JC, where do you stand on Bridgewater and the rest of that Vikings passing offense?
Well, Bridgewater has looked very good. He improved last year. They're very efficient. I agree with you guys that Charles Johnson will lead the team in targets, and I think he's a good, solid wide receiver two or wide receiver three. I'm still not sure with Minnesota. Again, let's not get too convinced by the preseason. You know, Adrian Peterson's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and I think you're still going to see a little bit. They're going to stay a little conservative. This is Bridgewater's second year. I think you'll see some ups and downs. I think Charles Johnson is a good, solid pick. I'm not sure I would go too crazy on him, though.
I'll throw this out to both of you. Would you take Devontae Adams first, or would you take Charles Johnson first, if both are on your board?
Personally, Devontae Adams, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I would lean towards Devontae just because of the way the offenses are set up. But there is, you know, as we discussed, a lot of intrigue with Johnson just because maybe he's sort of separated himself a little bit in that offense compared to Devontae. But it's hard to stay away from those really prolific offenses, which we still expect Green Bay to be.
All right, we'll go to a riser and a faller on the same team here, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going back to our first podcast, we really talked about Martavis Bryant. He was the big preseason hype guy, maybe a guy you could take in the fourth or fifth round. Well, he's been suspended for four games. Marcus Wheaton is the starter in two wide receiver sets for Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger has really talked him up. I'm all over Marcus Wheaton. JC, how about you?
I agree. I think at least you know he's going to be there the first 4 weeks, right? And I think it's always been a little bit of a guess between Wheaton and Bryant. Bryant's the home run guy, right? But yeah, I'm high on him too. And that's, as Arthur mentioned, prolific offenses. Pittsburgh's definitely one of those. Kind of quietly, I mean, I think some of us still view Pittsburgh as this smashing out team, but they're not. They Roethlisberger threw for incredible yards last year. And I think with Marcus Wheaton being the embedded number two, I think he's a good pick.
Arthur, where do you stand on Marcus Wheaton?
I'm a fan. I think he actually has more home run ability than we've seen so far. Definitely a fan, certainly an opportunity for him with the disappointing Martavis Bryant news coming out. One more name I would throw out, though. I know he's a rookie. I know he's raw, but he's a guy I've liked all along, and he's the guy who profiles most similarly to Martavis Bryant. That's Sammy Coates, the third rounder out of Auburn. I just really like his speed, size, potential. Wheaton doesn't really have that size. So when you're looking at guys who can potentially fill in a role, it's not really unlike what Jeff Janis and Jordy Nelson, the comparisons that those draw. So Coates is another guy I'd throw out there, a guy you're going to be able to get much, much later, who could potentially play sort of a similar role early in the season to what we saw in Bryant's breakout 2014.
I completely agree with you on Coates. The problem from a fantasy perspective is he's going to be hit or miss. You know, he's a guy you draft late, but can you play him? Because he's probably going to go a game or two with one or two or no catches, and then he's going to have another game with an 80-yard touchdown catch. So from a fantasy perspective, he's a bit of a crapshoot, but you never know. Rookie could be a great guy to get late and stash on the back of your roster, and he could have a huge second half.
Speaking of rookie wide receivers, Amari Cooper. I'm all in on him. Find Amari Cooper on Vine. He has absolutely burned Patrick Peterson on Saturday. It was a beautiful, beautiful route to run. He looks like a stud already. I think he's going around 18 among wide receivers. I'd put him in the top 12. JC, where do you got Amari Cooper?
I'm in between that 12 and that 18 with him. I think he is a fantastic player. I hate to even say this, but he reminds me of Jerry Rice. I mean, he doesn't do anything outstanding. He does everything extremely well. He's smooth. He's polished. His route running is just ridiculous. My only concern would be how many points are the Raiders going to score? They're clearly going to be improved from last year. And he's definitely a guy that is going to be a fantasy starter.
Arthur, I think Amari could be a potential PPR monster. I think Derek Carr is going to be locked in on him. What do you say?
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's closer to the some of the breakout wide receivers we saw last year in terms of his upside than kind of historically what you look at for the position. So, Amari Cooper really can do no wrong right now. But I will say Patrick Peterson had his share of issues last year, so I'm not getting too excited about that. And I like Derek Carr a lot, but I still want to see that next step. I tend to side with JC here, where Oakland's probably an offense I'm mostly going to steer clear of just because, there's a long way to go on both sides of the football. Who knows how many chances they're going to get. But Amari Cooper's long-term outlook is tremendous, and I do think he is going to be a fantasy asset this year, just not someone I'm targeting particularly.
All right, we'll move on to a guy I did not expect to be talking about in fantasy this year, but Doug Martin. Maybe he's back. He's actually run well. He's in a contract year. Maybe just outside the top 20 in running backs, Arthur?
Yeah, I think Doug Martin has really, really helped himself this preseason, and I think he's found himself in a nice situation. Dirk Cutter went to bat for him. We all know Lovie Smith's tendencies as far as how he wants the game to unplay on the offensive side of the ball, and Martin is running with power. He's shown the speed. He's got a young offensive line that he's going to be able to develop chemistry with. It looks like they are going to start a couple rookies there. So I'm fortunate that I haven't been a guy who was burned by Doug Martin in the past 2 years, because obviously a lot of drafts were spoiled that way. I didn't go in that direction. So now I'm kind of hopping in as this hopefully shrewd owner who's going to buy some stock in Doug Martin. JC, have you seen enough, or is this one of those instances where preseason it can be a little misleading?
Well, I think he's worth drafting just because of his nickname. I mean, Muscle Hamster. that covers it. But, it's funny you mentioned just outside the top 20. I have him at number 20. And I think you're going to see, let's say you're in a 12-team league, you get back, let's say you draft near the beginning. When it comes back to you in the second round, running all the premier running backs are going to be gone. So you're going to look in those third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. You're trying to find that guy that's the could be a producer at running back. And I think he's one of those guys that I would put in that category that you can get later, and he may wind up being a solid performer for you. So yeah, I think he's worth a shot.
All right, last riser we'll talk about for the preseason, Matt Jones, the Washington rookie running back. It's possible he could unseat Alfred Morris, maybe. Arthur, where do you stand on Matt Jones?
Well, you know, he's obviously Scott McLuhan's guy, and you always have to, you know, kind of be leery of that. When a new regime comes in, they're going to want to get their guys on the field. But is it me or is Alfred Morris suddenly kind of getting a bad rap here? I mean, I don't really think he's done anything, negative to the point where you'd worry about his fantasy standing. So Jones is a guy I like, but I don't think there's any question with regard to the pecking order in that backfield at the moment. And beyond that, obviously, with all the latest RG3 dysfunction swirling, it's going to be Kirk Cousins now. It's an offense we just don't really know enough about. Jay Gruden is a little bit of an inconsistent guy in his first year there. So I'm still an Elf guy, but that's another offense I'm not too keen on.
JC, Matt Jones, and then go ahead and address the Kirk Cousins stuff too.
Yeah, well, I agree 100% with Arthur. I mean, that's exactly what I would have said. You know, Alfred Morris is still the guy. You don't want to read too much into the fact that Matt Jones is pushing him in preseason and has looked pretty good. Now, if Alfred gets hurt or just doesn't produce, then Matt will definitely get a shot. But it's Alfred's job to lose. So Matt Jones, probably a good guy if you have Morris, stuff him at the, you know, maybe a last round, second to last round pick. As far as Kirk Cousins goes, when you sent out the outline for the show, and I read, you know, Kirk Cousins, what do we think about him? My knee jerk was, oh no, he's awful. So, but I went back and I looked at the stats, and last year he had 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, which was a big improvement from his rookie season when he was 5 TDs and 7 interceptions. His passer rating improved by about 10 points. I think he is improved, and they do have a couple of really good receivers and a tight end who's good if he can stay healthy. So he might not, I don't know if I would draft him or not, but you might see him as a guy who's getting picked up on the waiver wire in the first couple of weeks. So, you know, he's interesting, but I think he's sort of a reach as a fantasy starter.
If you need kind of a one-week type of guy, maybe based on matchup, Kirk Cousins could be someone worth looking at.
Yeah, that's about how I would look at him.
Arthur, you feel the same way on Kirk Cousins?
Maybe a plug and play guy, a spot starter, particularly when you look at some of the defensive issues I expect there to be within his division. It looks like the Giants and the Cowboys have a chance to be pretty bad. So maybe you sense an opportunity there. But, you know, like I said, that offense is one I'm not too thrilled about.
Well, and it's interesting if you go back and look at the last preseason game, with, you know, week 3 against Baltimore, Cousins threw an interception that Jay Cutler would mock him for. I mean, he threw it into a screen pass into just 5 guys, and it was
That's
picked
not
up
good.
By size. It was awful. I mean, you really get a chance to Google it because it's almost unbelievable. So I think Kirk's going to be one of those guys. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Rex Grossman. You know, he's going to have a good game here and there, but again, I think plug and play 1 week kind of guy.
Rex Grossman comparisons. I get shivers when thinking about that. Not in a good thing. That'll do it for the season-long portion of the podcast. We will now move on to the DFS or Daily Fantasy Sports portion of the podcast. And there's kind of a theory I'm slowly subscribing to, specifically in cash games and 50-50s, maybe not paying up for the top quarterback, especially in week 1, because there is so much value that has been opened up through attrition, through injury, and through guys just being named starter that we didn't exactly expect. Specifically, you look on DraftKings, Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Carson Palmer, and maybe even a guy like Tyrod Taylor is going to be a dual threat guy. They're all under 7,000 on DraftKings. I think Tyrod Taylor might be the minimum price for a quarterback. I might be talking myself into doing this for tournaments too, but if you don't pay up for a quarterback, that unlocks a guy like Julio Jones, Jeremy Hill, Jordan Matthews, guys who are going to be in high total games. Arthur, when you're looking specifically at week 1, but maybe even going forward in cash games, there are quarterbacks out there who you can find value for, who maybe guys like dual threats like Tyrod Taylor or maybe even Marcus Mariota as the season goes on. Maybe, are you looking to maybe save some on quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's definitely something to this, and I really think you could kind of extend it to season-long conversation, too. You're talking about the same depth concerns at particular positions and some that are perceived to be deeper, quarterback being one of them. So, yeah, I'm kind of the theory that you're going to tend to spend your big bucks on maybe an RB1, like you said, maybe a wide receiver, particularly a go-to wide receiver if you're able to pair them with maybe a little more affordable option under center. So I'm absolutely on board with this. I just think you need to have a good feel for where the strengths and where the weaknesses of the drafts are. And, I even think two names you threw out there, Tyrod Taylor is going to go week one against the Indianapolis Colts, who haven't stopped anyone on the ground in the past 3 years. Taylor, like you said, is the dual threat and could be very interesting there. And Teddy Bridgewater goes against a 49ers defense that has, what, maybe one starter returning from last year. So, yeah, there are definitely some bargains to be found. And save those big bucks for the running backs because there's not a lot of them to go around.
JC, where do you stand on a guy like Tyrod Taylor? He's not going to cost you a lot. And if he runs for maybe 50 yards and throws for a touchdown and runs in a touchdown, that's enough to hit value.
Well, that's the key, the running, because I think if you look at most of these guys, these bottom half guys in quarterbacks, and you pull out you go to your website, you pull out the newspaper, you look at the box scores, they rarely throw for 300. They rarely have those multiple touchdown games. But if you get a guy who can run and he runs one in and he's getting you 50, 60, 70 yards on the ground, that can be huge. I think a guy early on who – we talked about Sam Bradford. That's a guy who I think could produce in the level of a Aaron Rodgers or an Andrew Luck. And if the price is right, you might wind up, taking advantage of that early in the season.
Yeah, I think Sam Bradford is something like 6,900 on DraftKings. Arthur, I might be forced to take him because he's going to be in a high over-under game. And the way we've talked him up, starting with the season-long stuff, 3 touchdowns and 10 of 10 against the Packers. Atlanta's not exactly a great defense that he's going up against in week one.
No, that's putting it nicely. Yeah, that's another big-time opportunity there. And correct me if I'm wrong, John, you're kind of our DFS expert here, but was the Sam Bradford price not set when there was still a little bit of uncertainty with the Eagles' quarterback room? That's right, correct?
Yeah, the prices were released about a month ago, and at that point it was still Bradford versus Sanchez, and Sanchez is a decent price too. But yeah, I think 6,900 for a guy who was still also battling a bit of a knee injury when prices got released. So I think he's severely underpriced for week one.
Yeah, that's, I think it's definitely a reflection of kind of the way things were going in the offseason and everyone trying to pick Chip Kelly's brain, and we know what a scary proposition that is. So week one, Sam Bradford, I would say fire him up at that under 7,000, whatever it was, 7,500. Just be aware that, one big performance, and obviously, the pricing moving forward is going to be more in line, with what he's doing out on the field. But it would seem that there's a chance there to capitalize off some uncertainty and prices being set however long ago.
Yeah, a lot of value available. Last thing I want to go over is a tip that Evan Silva gave us a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and look for some high over-under games and look for guys to target there. So here are the top 4 over-under totals, team totals, that I looked at as of Tuesday morning. Philly-Atlanta is a 54.5 over-under. Philly's favored by 3. The Giants in Dallas is a 51.5 over-under. Dallas is favored by 5.5. Baltimore and Denver, 49.5 over under. Denver favored by 4.5. And this one surprised me a little bit, but Packers Bears also at a 49.5 over under. The Packers are favored by 7. I think that number may climb as we go up. But those are 4 games that you want to look at to target at target. I think the Packers might have the highest team total out of that, considering where the line is and how it may increase. What do you think, JC?
Well, the Packers are favored by 7. I have to go make a phone call. yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. You look at that last game against the Bengals, and the Bears just look broken. It's scary what the Packers might do to the Bears. Part of me thinks maybe with the 3-4, they'll be a little different for Green Bay. Maybe they'll struggle a little bit early. But I honestly think that is going to be a huge beat down, and if the Packers don't score the most of anybody this week, I'd be a little bit surprised.
And this is not a strategy that I definitely want you to take in DFS, but taking a wide receiver and a running back, generally not a good thing. But with this Packers-Bears game, Eddie Lacy could go nuts, and a guy like Davante Adams could have a fantastic day, Arthur.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it makes sense that you don't want to stack up on the same team. But I'm remembering back to a couple years ago, and it's a good segue because the guy I wanted to mention quickly when Terrence Williams and Dez Bryant were both going off in the Dallas passing attack. So I think that you need to be cautious of it, but you need to not – not kind of overthink your, you know, outsmart yourself and avoid a guy if you see an opportunity. And I did just want to quickly mention Terrence Williams. I didn't get to in the opportunity of offseason risers. Any offense with Dez Bryant, you know who's getting all the attention. Williams has been flashing some speed. He's got Romo's trust. He's been, you know, the knock on him has been consistency, but I do think this could be the year where he kind of puts it all together and helps that Dallas offense open up a little bit more even. So, yeah, that's one of those four games, the NFC East high-scoring affair, where that's a guy you may want to look at.
Another guy I'd point out that, you know, you look at risers in the preseason, but sometimes it's just the change of the offense chemistry because of injuries. And I would really take a look at Martellus Bennett. That the Bears do not have anything at wide receiver right now, and Bennett is being split out wide. He's definitely going to be the top target in Chicago, at least for the first few weeks. That Alshon Jeffrey injury scares me. Day to day, Arthur, when was his last practice? August. It was 3 weeks ago when
August 13th. Yeah,
August 13th.
Day to day.
Day to day. So I think Bennett might be the top producer on the Bears this year.
And Jay Cutler has to throw to somebody. I mean, if you've got a high total of 49.5 over-under game, they're expecting the Bears to score at least some points. So Martellus Bennett, he's going to rack up receptions, and he may get you a cheap touchdown, too.
Cutler has looked fine this preseason. I mean, he's not throwing the big deep ball, but he's got nobody to throw it to. So I think right now Cutler, it's sad to say, he's the least of the Bears' problems.
Didn't expect to end the podcast on that, but that's how we'll go out. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for your drafts and help you win throughout the season. We would also like to remind you that our podcast is available on iTunes, so please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode, and we appreciate any feedback you may have. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Heavy-duty demands have met their match with the high-strength steel Silverado HD. Drive what Dan Hampton drives and visit ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Big thanks to Arthur Arkish and JC Talon for being guests on today's show. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Jason Frommer. I'm John Solly. For all of us at Chicago Football, we hope you have a great week, and we will catch you next time.